Blessings in loving oneness, and welcome to Freedom's Flame Radio. I am Eve Kerr, your host. Please welcome my co-host, Anthony. Hello, Anthony.
Hello, Eve, and hello, listeners. I'm very happy to be here again this week.
As am I. I'm so glad you've joined me. We have such a wonderful lineup today. And this has been a really, really intense week. I don't know if anyone else has been feeling it, but on the second half of this week, wow, things have just, I think around Thursday, things really, really accelerated. I think it was right around the afternoon point of Thursday where I felt it here on the West Coast, around noontime West Coast, Pacific Standard Time, really super intense. And that would make it about 8 o'clock your time, Anthony. On Thursday. But I've been feeling it really. So there are so many things that have come through, and there's lots of revelations. So, and this is the showcase here today is the Super Conscious Path, how to anchor acceleration. And so we'll be going into deeper levels of exploring, you know, the wholeness of the I Am Presence and the levels of mind with Anthony. And we also have several fun meditations, which have cosmic activations contained. So we're going to just go into it. First, I'd like to extend some gratitude. First, to thank you to BBS for, again, for this just wonderful, amazing opportunity to broadcast. And Don and Doug and Deborah and Lily and the crew, thank you so much for your support, encouragement, and patience. I know you guys put a lot of effort into what you do, and so I want to recognize that. Thank you so much. And to my wonderful co-host, Anthony, thank you so much for being my amazing friend and total amazing support. You've helped me tremendously, just ongoing, and I'm grateful for you and your presence in my life. And from my mom in Mount Shasta, she's very supportive. All my friends, the community in Mount Shasta, and the Deeksha family in Mount Shasta, they're wonderful, a wonderful group of individuals who also work very, very hard at on their path of enlightenment. And I just want to acknowledge all of them and everyone working on, you know, you who are working on you. You are definitely contributing to the whole just by doing what you're doing on yourself. And I am grateful. And so there you have it. And thank you to everyone listening in today. I am grateful for your presence and for your receptivity to these frequencies and to work with the collective consciousness in this way too. So thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to echo those same sentiments as well. I'd like to thank you as well, Eve, for working with me, because this is a two-way process. It's not just one way. You've helped me tremendously. And once again, I'd also like to thank the BBS for hosting us and for all the listeners and for all the people who have supported me. And most of all, I'd also like to thank the spirit presence that has guided us and brought us to where we are now.
Indeed. Thank you. I'm actually welling up a little bit here because I'm just in a very deep state of gratitude these days and love and, you know, the challenges that are coming forward. You know, sometimes you just don't expect some things to happen. You know, you're going along and you've got these wonderful activities. You have your application that you do when you wake up. You have your breath work. You have your yoga. You have your movement. You have your walk. You have your decrees or prayers or devotion, whatever you do, mantras, Deeksha energies. People, we give Deeksha to ourselves, the blessing givers. So, you know, there's a lot of things. There's so many things that we do to kind of set our energy for the day. But one thing that G is, I kind of wanted me to point out before we even go into anything, because I'd like to hear the great invocation. So I'd like to do that. But the biggest, you know, one thing to contemplate is, you know, that every now and then something happens where you're not going to have that moment to work on your application in that morning and set up your energy for the day. You just, you know, sometimes you're called out at a moment's notice. Oh, you got to go here, you got to go there. Or, you know, someone calls and needs some support. And sometimes, you know, and this is from what I'm understanding about all of this is that there's a divine orchestration in place that's actually, you know, some of these things are actually fulfillments of our calls. So if we're asking to go deeper or our hearts to open more or this, you know, we'll also be brought others to facilitate these openings. If we're not getting the revelations on our own, we sometimes get the experiences. The outer shows up to say, okay, well, you know, you've called for a pretty big thing and you've gotten these revelations so far, but here's a little more of a nudge to get you there. So you have to just trust that what you're doing is perfect and that in the moment you're going to have the tools that you need if you have already anchored the appropriate if you've already anchored the appropriate aspects of the higher consciousness within you that has been impressed upon your consciousness so much that it's just there naturally now. And you're just naturally flowing with it. Like there's a blend of wholeness there. And you've become one with that consciousness because it's become such a part of your reality now. It's like you're experiencing this and wow, it's really showing up and wow. It's like these miracles, you know, when we tend to see those small miracles and sometimes we, you know, we don't always count those small blessings because we tend to look for the bigger stuff. We talked about that on one of the shows. This is the same thing, you know, where there's these little aspects of consciousness that we're integrating and they eventually become so embedded within us that they just, you know, it's who we are. This is the reminding of who we are. And it does take work to get out of that programming that we've been kind of accustomed to without setting up our energy for the day, you know, just getting up and going out and doing whatever it is. And without having any practice. And now that you have a practice, now that we have a practice, it's much easier to go about our activities because we know that everything is blessed that we're doing because we've called for it. We're invoking the light and it's coming through us. So in that moment's notice, it's, you know, it's like you just have to trust that, okay, you know what? I'm not going to, you know, force myself to be on an application if I have to really go do something. Because as your divine plan, you know, becomes, I think, more heavily encouraged to be coming through, and I don't know if that's kind of the right way to put it, but it's like the current gets stronger when you do your application and you're starting to do more work and there's more activity involved in your life, you know, the divine plan gets stronger and it's coming through you much more strongly. And you have to start moving from a place from, you know, where you've been setting up your energy every day to, you know, maybe a condensed form of that kind of application and just do some of the calls that really help anchor the higher consciousness that are most important to you and trust. You know, then just go about your day and trust that you're going to have what you need in the moment, that it's going to be there. Because if we keep relying on papers and papers and papers of applications, you know, we never actually fully become the meditation. So this is the point that G wants me to make today. And I do have an experience, a personal experience to share about it. But I just wanted to touch into that. Anthony, do you want to respond to that? And then maybe we can go into the great invocation.
Yeah, as you were speaking there, what came to my mind, but when you talked about looking after the little things, well, we have a saying over here, look after the pennies and the pounds will take care of themselves.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah.
I like that.
I just thought I'd share that. You look after the little details and the big things will take care of themselves. And that's where the trust comes in. And the more you see things taking care of themselves and working out, when you're working in the flow with spirit, then your confidence will grow and your trust will naturally grow, as will the faith. But as you say, it does take a level of consistency and a willingness to let go of certain patterns which no longer serve. So trust is a big thing for me as well.
Indeed. Thanks so much for sharing. Would you like to, do you feel inspired to sing the Great Invocation?
Shall we do the Great Invocation?
I'd love to do that.
All right then, here we go. From the
Point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men. The purpose for which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men. The purpose for which the masters know and serve. From the center, which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan of earth. Let light and love and power restore the plan of earth. Light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.
Thank you, Anthony. That is always beautiful. Every time you do it.
Thank you. I enjoy doing it.
And I'm sure that all the listeners enjoy it. I hope everyone's enjoyed that. And I'd like to bring something to everyone's awareness that I received just recently. And Anthony, I'd love your comments on this and whatever you feel is coming through on this. But it was a really big thing that got me. And it was this week where things started getting really intense. G was showing me something about perception. And Anthony, the phrase that you've been using with me for a while now, you know, it's always a perception problem. You know, these little things, they stick with me. You know, it's like, it's always a perception problem. And it's kind of one of those revolving questions that have been kind of going around. You know, I tend to ponder it every now and then. It's always a perception because I go, well, where is my perception? Where, you know, is it in truth? Is it in the story? You know, it's kind of hard to tell where perception is. I don't really have a higher understanding of it. So they gave it to me this week, of course, because you ask and you shall receive. So he gave it to me. And perceiving, you know, it's this question came around again and I went, wow, okay. You know, there's something about perception. So I received the lesson in a really interesting way. This is sometimes how I get the enlightenment is through these little lessons, you know, daily outer activities. Something will happen and I'll go, oh, I got it now. That's sometimes how the questions get answered, by an experience. So they don't just all come in the communion time, you know, when we're there with the presence and the masters and the angels and all our guides and, you know, they come in outer, you know, the outer experience too. So we have to trust that, you know, everything is part of that divine orchestration and everything's, you know, coming through. The things that are unreal that I have found are the things that the mind has created. It's that big story stuff. Because anything in the material realm that's been created out of love has been a constructive activity of light and doesn't necessarily mean that it's unreal because it has that energy. But the energy that is real is the energy of love. So anything that's, you know, material created with love is, you know, has real qualities in it and should be, you know, everlasting. You notice how things like that were made years and years ago, things like antiques, you know, they've lasted a very, very, very long time. Have you noticed that? Yeah. And things today, they tend to be very, you know, much more temporary. Things were done, I think, with a lot of love and more, you know, just there was kind of a pace and a rhythm, you know, where things weren't so fast with technology these days. You know, so people took their time with things years ago, you know, and really put their energy and their, you know, their love into it, I think. And I don't think that they don't do it as much today, but I think that there's a lot less time, you know, that they don't take the time to really, you know, focus on the activity, put all their attention, you know, put all their eggs in that one basket of activity right there, you know, and just plunge into it and give it their all, you know, because if we were doing that, you know, not distracted by, you know, lots of things, you know, the technology, I think, is a plays a big part of that distraction. But if we weren't distracted with that, I think that there would still be a lot of other things that would be made with a much greater level or quality of permanence.
Yeah.
So what I recognize, though, about perception is that if you're – when I'm in the moment and I'm feeling like, well – you know, there's something coming up. I feel the shenpa, I feel the reactivity or something coming up. And I go, okay, you know, I understand what that is. And I go, what I do, what I've been doing is I've been just being still with it. I try to really be very still with it. And one thing about stillness is that stillness equals patience. And that's what he just gave to me this morning. Stillness equals patience.
Yeah.
Because when you're still, you know, you're not thinking about anything else, but that's the quality of patience, is stillness. Because when you're still, it's not like, oh, I have to be patient, I have to tolerate. You're just, I'm going to be still. I am still. And you're not even thinking about being patient and, you know, the time and anything else. You're just, you're focused on, I guess that could be the upgrade to patience, stillness. So what I've been doing is being really still with everything. And I've noticed how still I've become with noticing anything that comes up for me. So in that stillness, I noticed that I can receive clearly in that stillness. So when you're receiving, when you're still, you know, even though you might be feeling some tension or something, it doesn't mean that you can't still receive true guidance from your presence and the masters and whoever you're working with. You can still receive while you're still, even if you're feeling a reaction. As long as you're not feeding the reaction with your attention, if you're detached from it, but you feel it and you acknowledge that it's there, you're feeling it, but your attention is also focused on your, it's truly placed upon your higher self, your Christ presence, your I am presence. If it's placed in those areas of the Christ consciousness, your higher self, your mighty I am presence, if it's placed there, then you can receive true guidance while you're feeling a reaction. And what I noticed about that was that you're either in a state of perception or reception. So when you're still, even though you're, you know, feeling something, some kind of reactivity, you can still receive. You're in a state of reception. So when you're focused, when your attention is focused on your presence and you're clear, you're receiving. And even if you feel something, you can still be receiving. So I acknowledged that and I went, wow, that's really interesting, because see, now it's when we go into the feeling, when we start feeding that feeling, whatever is coming up that might be a trigger for us, that hooks us into perception. That takes us out of the receiving level and moves us into a place of perception. Because that's where the unreality was created. And you have to go into the mind to try to perceive what's going on, because it's unclear. When you're in a state of stillness and you're receiving, love is what makes it clear. Love always comes through clearly. So I wanted to share about that because that was really important. And maybe, Anthony, at this point, maybe you can add to that, because did that resonate? Did that flow well? Did you receive that?
Yeah, I did. It is kind of a revelation for me as well, because I hadn't looked at it in those terms. I was aware that when you're in the stillness, you're in a state of non-judgment, which is really important, not to judge what's coming up. So when you're in that stillness, and it's also you're being fully present when you're being still and aware of what's going on. So you mentioned two things. You said about you're either in perception or reception. So I hadn't looked at it in those terms quite like that. I mean, in my perception, when I go within, I look at where is my attention? Because my attention, I mean, I might be experiencing this reaction, this feeling going on, and I might be noticing that my mind is being tempted to go into the story. But when you're being in the stillness and you're in the reception phase, you can observe it while being in reception of the stillness or the guidance, if you like, which helps to just let go of whatever's coming up. So it's also a neutral state, in a sense. That's my kind of understanding. I don't know if you'd agree with that.
Oh, yeah, that hits home for me, too. When you say that, I'm sorry, say it again. You had so many things, and now I've got so many things coming forth, so... the stillness, something about the stillness is the state of non-judgment. That's it. So, yeah, I mean, that's what it is, because you're in a place of neutrality where you're just observing what is going on. So you're in the observer. You are the observer. So you actually are experiencing yourself as the presence when you're in that observing state.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
It is interesting. Because the other choice is that we actually get caught up in, you said the feeling, but I call it the story. Because with the story, it is generally wrapped up with the feeling experience. And that's what creates the kind of looping effect, which adds what I call fuel to the fire. But when you recognize that you are having an experience and you can go into that neutral state of receptivity, I mean, to me, there is still perception going on there, but it's where the perception is coming from. Is it coming from the fear, which is the story, which is fueling the negative feelings and the story? Or is your attention or your perception coming from the love aspect, which is your inner guidance, which is then in a state of neutrality and non-judgmental, which is allowing them, whatever's coming up, to come up and to pass away, because there is no tension in that state. When you're in the story, tension happens.
And that's what hooks you. It's the feeling, that tension, that's the hook.
Yeah. It's the bad feeling, or we call it, instead of just accepting what it is and just observing it from a neutral position, which will allow whatever's coming up to arise and pass away. And that becomes, for me, that's my practice. That's what I try to practice. I mean, with the little things, you can use the little hooks as a way of working up towards the bigger ones. So dealing with the little things, the pennies, so that when you come to the pounds, you're prepared, if you see what I mean.
I do.
That's my take on things anyway.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, this is this is ongoing learning.
There's lots of opportunities throughout the day with all these little things that do come up quite often. They're like little irritations every now and again. We kind of overlook them, but they're opportunities to practice.
Right.
And they all build up. They all, you know, contribute to your mind training, if you like.
That's very true. And another thing that G's pointed out to me is that, you know, and something that I've realized, I've just, you know, bringing this to light, our culture, the whole culture, you know, over, I think, probably mainly Western culture, but I think that this is, it's probably prevalent throughout the globe because I don't know what culture is around the globe, you know, what everyone's doing, practicing, because it's like, it's not all one religion somewhere. It's, you know, everyone's individual, so they all have a certain, you know, their own path. So wherever they are, but I feel like, you know, in the modern world, I guess that's a better way of putting it, we kind of tend to think ahead to the next event or activity that will be the one that gets us enlightened.
Yes.
I got to go there because, that's it. I got to go there.
That's
look at this transmission that's got, I got to do that. Oh, because that's it. That's the one. You know, and we tend to forget we're actually already there. And being fully present now, you know, if you just be in the now, in the moment, being fully present now brings that forth without having to go anywhere.
Exactly. That is the practice, to my mind.
Yeah, and he talks about the impersonal personal, which is the lower, and the impersonal personal, which is the higher. And I'm going to go into that. Because you can't see oneness if you are viewing something as other. This goes into the perception reception. So do you have a better word for perception to, you know, kind of like you're calling it story, I'm calling it feeling. The feeling is actually what hooked you into the tension and the reactivity and the Shenpa. And the story is actually the content of what's there.
Yeah, my understanding is it's not really so much the feeling. The feeling comes after the awareness, which is the perception, which is what is happening in the mind.
Okay,
changes take place. So that's why I call it the story. It's easier, you know, because it's the story, it's the perception and the feeling makes up the story.
And if we're not in oneness, then we're in the story.
Yeah, basically. And we all tell stories all the time about why this is happening or that happens. And it appears to be happening to us because we perceive it all as happening outside around us.
Yeah.
In the appearance world.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, you have to have a tool that wakes yourself back up and recognizes the oneness. Mm-hmm. You know, like recognize. He was giving me, he's pointing out these little things. Sometimes I see words within words. And so he's giving me recognize. And cog really stood out. And he is giving me this revelation that it's like the cog of the wheel of life that is an integral part of the whole. If you can see the whole wheel and all the cogs within it as one, then you can just bring yourself there. You know, it's like these little revelations. Like I like the maypole revelation where, you know, I kind of view the I Am Presence on the top, like the pole. That ball on top is the presence, like the ball of light, the sphere. And all the streamers, the colorful streamers coming down are like, you know, the streaming life force of the presence, and everyone who goes up to it takes one and, you know, reconnects back to their presence. I really like that analogy. But it's like if you have those kinds of analogies, those kinds of thought forms, they are like one of probably the most powerful and simple tools that you can use to really anchor yourself back into oneness in the moment. Like, oh, just think of the maypole. Or, oh, just think of the cog, you know, in the wheel that's, you know, the whole wheel of life, you know, and like, oh, I see myself. There I am, that little cog. But look at how important I am with all these, you know, because each of our roles are so important. And I think we kind of tend to skip over that sometimes, you know, that each of our roles are important because we're caught in the sometimes the perceptivity of the world. You know, we're caught in the story of the world. And, you know, there's like a very fine line back and forth between oneness and the story. you know, because there's yourself, there's the divine plan that's coming through and, you know, naturally coming through. And then there are things going on around you. And instead of, you know, what I've been learning, and, you know, it's an ongoing process to just be still with everything in the moment and go, okay, well, here's this and here's that, and we do this and we do that. Instead of going, oh no, look at that, and oh no, oh, what are we going to do about that, and blah, blah, blah. You know, instead of kind of being, you know, going into the frantic mind and, oh, there's a problem here, there's a problem. It's like, nope, stop, you know, be still and make a call to the presence. Mighty I Am Presence, take command there. You know, Mighty I Am Presence, go before me and bless the hearts of these people over here. And but you say it with love and you just be in the moment. Like, you know, you recognize that that is, you know, whatever's going on is just an appearance. And if you send a blessing to it, you can actually dispel all that negative energy in the moment and really still everything.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good to, as soon as you've noticed that you've been triggered, is maybe just to take a breath or something and just a moment to pause so that you, you know, can watch if you could react or respond. Because one of them, if you could respond in, then that gives you the moment just to connect with your higher self. But
right.
When you're in action, that's one exercise that I used to practice, was notice, am I reacting or am I responding? And there's two different things. Because in response, when you're in that in a more peaceful, quiet state or that stillness, you know, you have that opportunity to respond appropriately rather than reacting, which is, again, just falling straight into the story and the drama. Even though you can still be feeling, you know, what's going on, but you can respond rather than just get caught up in the reacting. It takes practice. So if that's helpful.
Very helpful. Everything you offer is helpful. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Yeah. So impersonal, personal, which is the lower, you know, you can, I kind of tend to see myself in that way, that I was there years ago with, you know, I was really in the story. You know, I didn't, you know, I knew what oneness was, but I had to go into meditation to connect in oneness. Mm-hmm. I wasn't just there. I wasn't, you know, I didn't have that level of self-realization that I do now, you know,
yeah.
Where I know, you know, that we're, you know, oneness and consistently, you know, integrating more and more of that. And, but years ago, I had to be still. I had to go into the meditation and then connect with all life to be in that oneness and that level of self-realization. So for me, that's, you know, the impersonal personal, which is, you know, you're personally, you're still viewing everything as self and other, your own self, and like everything else is other. And, but you've kind of moved into a place of neutrality with it because you know that you're all one, even though, you know, you're not completely self-realized yet. And you can take it to a level of impersonality where, you know, you start not taking things personal.
Yeah.
And that was one of my first tools. That was part of my training, The Four Agreements, Don Miguel Ruiz. That book has been so instrumental in my path. And one of the four, I think it's called The Four Agreements, yeah. And one of them is, don't take anything personally. That's one of the four agreements. Don't take anything personally. And in the I Am teachings, in the I Am discourses, Saint Germain says, you know, and I think it was, I think it was either Archangel Michael or Archangel Gabriel from one of the teachings that said, do not personalize energy.
Mm.
And I mean, this is, you know, like, I don't know, almost 10 years later that I'm getting the same teaching. It's still coming forth. Do not personalize energy. Don't take anything personal because nothing's personal. So when you're in that lower, you know, spectrum of, you know, in, and I don't want to call it lower. I guess that's not the best word, but that was the way that I, you know, that I got it in the moment. There's a lower and there's a higher. So,
yeah.
So let's just call it, there's a level of personal experience where you're in story But you can be impersonal to that story if you just don't take anything personally and you work with that training. And that eventually brings you to a place where you start integrating a higher level of personal, impersonal. So you still, like, in your higher self, when you integrate your presence more, you become personal, as in you're an individual in the whole, because you're more self-realized now. But this is another level of impersonality, because you're just not personalizing energy at all. You've moved from a place of not taking anything personally to not personalizing energy. So it's not just, you know, for me, okay, and this is just my experience that I'm sharing with, you know, about this, and this is how it was brought to me. So you'll get your own revelations for this. The lower aspect, though, that was, for me, that it took me a while to get out of that, because I was seeing everybody as, like, against me. And I had to learn to not take things personally. It was because I had deeper patterns running that I've actually just cleared over the past 2 weeks with your help. And I had those deeper patterns running where I was projecting things out. And I didn't know what was going on, but I was in a level of story where I had no idea. I had no level of awareness whatsoever what I was doing. But I was projecting it out, and it was showing up right directly in front of my face saying, yep, see, that's what you're creating. This is how powerful you are. And exactly what you're affirming and creating is happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really like what you said recently, too, that the whatever you believe, the outer shows up as a witness.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it says in the Course in Miracles. What you believe, you will perceive. That's how powerful you are. That's why everything is so convincing. Because we project it out and then we see it. And then it, you know, it's like evidence. You see, there it is. I told you it was going to happen. There it is. It shows up exactly as we believe it, whether it's conscious or unconscious. And our strongest beliefs actually are the ones that are being projected out. They're the ones that tend to come about first or more readily. That's why it is about changing our beliefs. If you want to change your life, you need to change our beliefs about what we believe and what we think we know. As I mentioned earlier, when I said about being in the I know mind.
I'd really like to hear about that.
Yeah.
Because that deals with, I mean, this personal and personal. Are you receiving... You know, do you resonate with everything that I've shared on the personal and impersonal as far as the lower aspect? Well, the lower aspect also for me is like it's been people, you know, showing up in that way where, you know, you don't take anything personally that people say. But then there's another level where it's all energy, and that's a higher level for me.
Yes.
So that's what I mean about, you know, okay, so the impersonal, personal, when you're not taking things personally, you know, when you're in story, you know, it's not really in story, but you're kind of, there's really no other way to say it. You're either in oneness or in story. So for this context, I'll use those terms. So when you're in story like that and you're projecting out and you don't know you're projecting out, then people show up and they validate whatever it is that you're believing about whatever's going on to be true. So if you're believing that you're going to have a bad day, then everybody shows up and, you know, frowns at you. It's kind of the way it happened with me. It's like, huh, I'm the only one that's smiling today. What else? What's wrong with it? What's going on?
This is what the Course... This is what the Course in Miracles calls about, you know, the forgiveness and the letting go and the unlearning process. It's the same thing, you know, as it comes up, we get triggered. It's an opportunity, really, to see what's triggering us, what's hidden. Because unless it comes into the light of awareness, we can't do anything about it. We just keep reacting. They call it blind reaction, you know, and it just causes us misery until we get to the point where we think, well, enough is enough. You know, there's got to be a better way.
And there is.
And we're talking about some of those ways.
Yes. So the higher perspective is when you really start understanding how the laws of energy work and that, you know, the energies of love and the energies of the God qualities are, those are the real energies. And what can be equated to real is like, well, what's real? What's really real? You know, is it tangible? Is what is tangible real? Or is it what feels real? And actually, what is real is what is perfect and can be sustained for eternity. So because love can be sustained, that's, you can't get rid of love. No matter what you do, there's going to be love everywhere. The only thing that dissolves is what seems to be the opposite of love, which there really isn't any opposite of love, which is an illusion, is lack of love. And there is no lack of love. So where it's like wherever you see something appearing that seems to have a lack of love, that is your cue to bless that thing, that situation, that object, that person, that condition, whatever it is, with your love. That's an opportunity to create good karma and say, oh, I noticed something here and I'm going to send my love to it. And then all of a sudden the vibration raises around you because you're raising your vibration because you're sending your love. So when that love is coming through you and raising the vibration out there, your vibration is raising even greater.
Yeah, that's the willingness.
When you bless life, your vibration increases probably, I don't know, tenfold, you know, compared to the blessing that you're giving, you're actually receiving. So what comes through you, you have to receive what comes through you in order to bless something else. You have to receive the blessing first because it has to come through you. So everything, the more you bless life and everything around you, the more you're going to be blessed and the more your vibration is going to raise. So it's kind of like anyone who's been on the hook for, you know, having themselves obligated to, oh, I got to do this, I'm committed to this, and I've got to do that, and blah, blah, blah. You know, I understand and respect and honor all of these things that we have committed to making this world a better place and raising the vibration and raising the consciousness. But we have to let ourselves off the hook from being obligated to something that we've deemed absolutely necessary. Because when we do that, we are actually making demands of ourselves that may not be authentic to what our presence wants. Mm-hmm. And I've learned that very, very distinctly this week, very clearly, that, you know, having a practice is good, having a discipline is good. But sometimes, like I was saying, you know, there are these situations that are right in the moment. You know, your family needs you, your kid needs you, your pet needs you. You know, there's something going on that pulls you away and it's necessary for you to, it's like there's a part of life that needs your attention and it demands, you know, your attention. It's greater than, you know, doing, you know, a few of your prana breaths that morning. It's, you know, just go and tend to it because, you know, that life force that's right around you is needing you. And when you give your attention to that, you're tending life firsthand. You know, these calls are like a prequel to that tending. So if you've been making the calls and you've been on an application and you've been like, well, maybe I'm bored, you know, I've experienced lately that some people are kind of bored or they don't feel like they're growing as much with some of their applications. So it's like, okay, then it's time to make a shift. Just put the application down. I say, don't even try to figure out what you need to do. Just get still and put the application down for a bit, whatever it is you're doing. And just feel into the moment. What's authentic for me to be participating with? What would feel really good for me to do in the morning? And what would make me feel the happiest, most fulfilled, you know, most joy-filled? What would bring in the most love? What would anchor that, my presence, really, really well in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, whatever? And then you'll get the revelation of what it is. And 9 times out of 10, it is not what you are currently doing. And I mean, sometimes, you know, you do get the, you know, well, it's what you're doing is good, but add this. You know, that's number 10. It's like, okay, well, here, it is the application, but this is missing from it. Or in addition to this, do this. So there's, you know, it's, things are always changing. Life is, you know, in constant change, and we are constantly changing too. So, you know, we don't need to stay on page 1, 2, and 3 of our application, you know, when we should be on page, you know, 255. you know, and sometimes like I notice it in myself that I've been on like page 5 where I should be on page 300, you know, and I feel like I'm not growing. Well, because you're not on page 300, dear, you know, take a look down, you know, you have some more, you know, because the more light we invoke, the greater our light becomes. So we need more of an advanced application to get us to these higher realms. You see, if we keep sitting there with the teachings that, okay, they got us to this level, now we need something to get us to the next level. So I do understand that running around and going, oh, that event, I got to go there, I got to go here, I got to go there. Well, you know, and that's, I think that's part of the mind that wants to, you know, there's this consciousness that we've been plugged into where we feel like, okay, enlightenment is the key, it's the answer, and I'm going to find it here, I'm going to find it there. You know, just because you get a good feeling about something necessarily at first doesn't mean that you're going to, you know, it's going to be authentic for you to go to that or listen to it later. So what I would say is just consistently tune into that feeling and say, oh, you know, it felt, okay, so like something a week in advance, maybe it feels good right now that it would be, yeah, it feels pretty good, I'd like to go to that. But sometimes if you ever notice as the event approaches, you know, like it's Thursday now and the event is 2 days away on a Saturday. I don't know. Doesn't feel as good as it did at first. Navigate it, you know. Don't just go because it felt good at first. Keep navigating it. Do what's authentic for you because, you know, where you felt, you know, that last week, whether it was Saturday, Sunday, or Monday where you first heard about the event, you're not going to feel the same way about it, you know, Thursday or Friday. If you're doing an application and you're keeping yourself, you know, clear and you're really doing your work to navigate what activities are in your highest good. So I'd say just navigate that.
Well, the whole point of the practice really is to come to the point where you're living in the presence consistently anyway. And when you're living in the presence consistently, you're following that inner guidance from moment to moment. That is the whole point of the preliminary trainings and the mind trainings or practices, whatever it is. So that then frees you up so that you can be more your authentic self. When you're following your inner guidance, your inner truth, you are being your authentic self and being present. And that's where your happiness and fulfillment comes. Instead of, you know, think I've got to do this practice, that practice or the other. It is about being in the flow and, as you say, navigating the moment. What feels right, what feels right from your truth, because then you are coming from love anyway. When you're trying to make things happen, then that's generally coming from the fear element, the have to's, the got to's, the should do's, the must, because then that actually generates subconscious resentment and guilt.
Ooh, that's really good. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And that's new for me. That generates... Please say that again. That was so rich.
When there is a feeling of being coerced or manipulated or having to or got to, there is an unconscious sense of resentment comes up, and that generates unconscious guilt as well.
Wow.
Yep. So because that's coming from fear. It's coming from a have to rather than a really want to. Unless it's coming from your heart and your authentic self when you're in the flow. Because then there's ease and grace in that. When we're making something happen and it's not our authentic, true self, yeah, we do compromise in this world, but you know, it doesn't feel good. And it does, it generates these little resentments that build up over the years. And with resentment comes guilt. And then with guilt, we tend to end up punishing ourselves because we just feel bad for no reason. Because we've forgotten the reason. We make choices along the way and then we forget that we made these choices and we forgot that we forgot. These are where these unconscious patterns get hidden, you see. And over a period of time, they build up. And these little molehills turn into mountains. That's why I said, you look after the pennies and the pounds will take care of themselves. Because then you're dealing with your moment-to-moment living and being in the presence. That's why it's really important to learn to be in the presence. That is the real practice, and following your inner guidance. And it feels so much better as well. And when you're not in it, you know it because you feel it. It becomes much more tangible. That makes sense.
I would wholeheartedly agree with everything you've just shared.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
There's another thing that the Course in Miracles says, that you are not responsible for the errors that we perceive in life, but you are responsible for correcting the errors. And this is the work. This is the perception, the way we perceive life. Because a lot of our guilty feelings come because we feel responsible for people, for situations, for this, that, and the other, when in fact, those things are out of our control. The only thing we are responsible for is correcting the error, which is our perception of the way we see life or we experience life. And that's a different way of looking at it. Does that make sense?
It does.
Good.
That's wonderful. Thank you. Yeah, so the... another thing here, I would like to go into a meditation. I'd like to find out how much time we have. And I'm waiting to see how much time we have today so that we can get into some of the meditations. Familiarity. How to let go of what was before and let God come forth so you can truly embrace what is. What we're familiar with. You know, when we start, you know, we're talking about just being and the presence and kind of starting to get off of the paper application. It's kind of like the paper training. So we have a paper training. And we have these wonderful tools. But as we start becoming more adept at making the calls in the moment, we are really then, you know, becoming anchored in our true, you know, we're anchoring our true authentic selves, our authentic presence. And we can live that more and more as we let go of what we identify with. So our true identity, and one of the revelations that you gave me was individual density, identity. I stands, you know, for the individual. So individual and density. So we, you know, our form has a denser vibration, but as our individual density, our identity, it's kind of like the dent we're making in the consciousness, the atmosphere. Our form is the dent, you know, we're making a dent in the space, I guess. The I am presence in all its splendor, projecting our forms individually here. So I am appearing as many. Yet it's an unfamiliar way of life at first. So one of the pitfalls, this is a pitfall. One of the pitfalls of that the Ascended Master teachings share is that we embrace the presence and then fall back to what is familiar because it's the way we identify with the what. And the what is like the alpha. Okay, stay with me. The what is like the alpha, the male. And yet the presence is the who. And the who is the true what, which is all that is. Expressing the how, which is the omega. The how is the omega, the heart's own wisdom. So we must design a new structure or frame of reference to identify with. Otherwise, it will not come forth clearly in our lives. Our divine plan may look confusing if we are still identifying with the old or the unreality. And one way to do this is, you know, you can disempower the lower, you know, the unreality, if you are conscious of the higher. So do you have a response for that, or?
No, I just found it really interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. To overcome the lower is to focus on the higher aspects of consciousness, yeah. I would definitely agree with that.
Well, thank you. I don't know if everyone, I hope everyone else followed that. The what is like the alpha, the male. The alpha is the male polarity, and the male says what will be. And the female is the how, it's the omega. She says how it will be. How will the what be? So the what is whatever it is. Maybe it's art. And the omega says, okay, how will the art be expressed? And through paint, it's like, so, you know, the male is the art, is the concept. And the female brings the concept through by expressing. So the art will be expressed in writing, in painting, in drawing, in singing, music, dancing, whatever, you know, whatever form that takes as to how, it's the expression. That's the omega. That's the female. That's, you know, the creativity in the womb coming through. And the alpha just, you know, he's there like, you know, with this big, you know, blazing, like beak. He's like this beacon just holding the thought form. He's holding the thought form. And as long as, you know, the alpha and omega, they have a good, strong bond, and he can really hold a solid thought form, and the omega is so in tune, you know, and in oneness, as long as they are in oneness, they will continually, they like flow in that figure eight, this like this figure eight pattern that's coming through consistently. And that kind of looks like our DNA, you know, the way that that runs and that, you know.
Yeah.
That wave, and it's like a figure eight, a flowing figure eight, but it's continuously, like it's making kind of like a line, like a wave.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, we do. We express the what, the divine idea. And one of the pitfalls of this is that we have not like been in tune so much, so we're just kind of running around in the outer going, trying to make things happen, like what you were saying. But like one of the biggest tools, the biggest tricks to this is just in the moments, like stop everything and just get still. Just go be still. Like if you have to excuse yourself and just go somewhere for, you know, a little while, you know, if you're at someone's house and there's a gathering there, just excuse yourself, go to the restroom, you know, just stand there and, you know, take a few deep breaths and get still and get really present with yourself. You know, do whatever it takes in the moment. It's like in the moment when you're feeling it, it's like, I can feel myself. I'm not really present and I can feel things being scattered. I need to go and just, you know, be for a few minutes. And I tell you, when you do that, when you step away and you really honor that, you're really honoring God when you do that, because you're honoring your own presence when you're doing that. And you're like, nope, I'm going to do whatever it takes to stay present and honor myself and my authenticity and be true to myself. So just go do that. I've had a lot of these experiences lately, by the way. So it's interesting. It's always interesting. Yeah,
that's also another thing we can do throughout the day as well, is every now and again is just check in to see how we're feeling and what's going on and where we're at. If you just do that, you know, every now and again throughout the day, just check in. It only takes, 10 seconds just to check in with yourself and then carry on. It's another practice, something that I started doing, which I wish I'd remember to keep on doing it. Every now and again, I did, you know, I just check in, notice how I'm feeling, notice what my thoughts are doing, and just have a little commentary with myself. That way I could hold my attention on what's going on in my feelings or in my state of mind or whatever, and then I could just feel myself having that level of acceptance, honoring the self. It's a very good exercise.
That's interesting, because I have found myself just doing that naturally. Like I'm going, like I don't say, I need to go to do a check-in, but I just start doing it. I just go, wait a minute.
It becomes habit.
Yeah. That's interesting. Thanks for sharing that. Well, now that's a revelation for me, because I didn't know that I was in that flow. So, but I'm noticing that, like, okay. Back up over here, stay here, stay with it, you know, be still. And it's really integrating that stillness, and it turns out that stillness equals patience. And I'm going to give you guys a call for stillness, and it's really, really important. This is one of the tools that I've been integrating for a while that really helps you in the moment to really get still and know who you really are and what's real. This is one of the things that's really anchored it for me very, very strongly. So I want to give it to you, to everyone. And it goes like this. So if everyone has their journal out or a piece of paper and a pen and you want to write this down, Just feel free to write it down. I will probably, I can have it posted also, if you'd like. I can have it posted. I could send it out in email. If you'd like it, you can go to the BBS Freedom Slam Radio page and just email me if you want a copy of this. And, of course, you could always listen to the archives of the show. But here's the call. So, and in this call, I have things that I do where I command as the Christ. So, and something, it's in the I Am teachings where when you command as the Christ, what you're doing is you are affirming that you are already one with your Christ, you know, your Christ self, that you are your Holy Christ self here embodied, and that the I Am is coming through you, you know, that you are one with everything. So you're actually commanding in this, the oneness of the presence when you do this. You're using the Christ consciousness doing this. So you say, beloved mighty I Am presence, I, Christ, call to you and the beloved mighty Elohim, the great ascended host, the great angelic host, beloved Saint Germain, beloved Jesus, beloved God Harmony, to charge, charge, charge. You say charge three times. Charge, charge, charge. Your fire presence of your eternal cosmic fire of perfection into all the energy of this, my feeling world, my mental world, every aspect of consciousness and flesh form right now, that stops all discordant vibratory action instantly, purifies the substance, and forms an atmosphere of the sacred fire love about this my life stream, wherever I, Christ, abide. And there's a second part to this. Charge, charge, charge again three times. Into and qualify all the energy of this my feeling world, mental world, every aspect of consciousness, flesh form, and the atmosphere about me with your fire presence of eternal perfection, that I, Christ, am one with the perfect peace of the great, great silence and receive its love and its blessing right now. And then you just pause and be still with that for a moment. And receive the love and the blessing from the great, great silence. Receive that and notice how serenely peace you become. So everything gets very, very still and quiet when you do this. And then after this is a call and an affirmation. And that'll bring the call to a close. So the other part of this is empower me with stillness, beloved great, great silence, and anchor my eternal knowing of that truth within that stillness. And then an affirmation. I always know the truth of what is real, for I am eternally at rest in action right now. And you say that three times. I always know the truth of what is real, for I am eternally at rest in action right now. I always know the truth of what is real, for I am eternally at rest in action right now. So it's empower me with stillness, beloved great, great silence, and anchor my eternal knowing of the truth within that stillness. I always know the truth of what is real, for I am eternally at rest in action right now. And what that means, eternally at rest in action, this is a Saint Germain teaching. And he shares that this is the peace. This is the peace of the great, great silence. When you are eternally at rest in action, it means you are always in a state of peace. So when you are always in a state of peace, then you can command as the Christ and part the waters like Moses did. These are our natural abilities. But when we have enough of those qualities, when we have enough of a momentum of that light of the peace within us, then we can start seeing our own adeptship right in front of me, right in front of us.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think we have a little more time today. I noticed it's after 2, at least on my end. I believe that we can go for a little while longer. So how did that resonate with you, those calls, Anthony?
Yeah, yes, I definitely resonate with those. They're really good calls. What you say, it is about being in that state of peace. The Course in Miracles also says that, you know, the whole course really is about being at peace. You know, the whole course trains you to be at peace, so you live in peace. And it also says that you can make these kinds of calls and affirmations and recognizing our true self because it is part of our own mind. Just to emphasize what you were saying, you know, you're anchoring that state of consciousness in your awareness, in your mind, by placing attention on it. And this is why when we recognize with that higher self or the I Am presence, and we consistently do it, it becomes a part of our consciousness. And that's when it becomes consistent. That's when you can call upon that consciousness. In the beginning, it does take practice to open your mind up to it so that it becomes anchored in the mind. And then when you do make your affirmations, they are coming from a place of power and truth and recognition of who you are. And this is another reason why, you know, people without doing this kind of work do affirmations and say affirmations don't work. But if you're doing it from that consciousness, they work every single time.
Absolutely. Okay, what I'd like to do is, let's see, is there, there's a couple of things I'd like to do here. So that's one of the calls. And that's, okay, I think, hold on, I'm finding out how much, actually how much time we have left. Okay, I think we might need to wrap up early today because I don't know if we're going to have an engineer to help us with the rest of the show. So hang on a minute and let's see how much time we have left here. Okay, so we have a minute left. I'm so sorry. I didn't know that and they need to leave the studio. So, all right. Well, thank you everyone for listening. I'm sorry we didn't get to the meditations and everything else. I guess we'll tune into that next week then.
Yeah, we'll do it next time.
Okay. Thanks everyone for listening. And thanks, Anthony. I'm sorry we didn't get to the levels of mind either. That we got to some of it, but there's always more.
Explain it one day. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye everyone. Blessings and oneness.